Lesson number three. The Holy Spirit's call to fellowship and service. The fellowship is two parts. We have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with man. Our memory verse says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So we have fellowship with other Christians, fellowship with us, John says, and then we have fellowship with the Father. In order to have fellowship, we must have compatibility. Com is with, and the rest of that word means suffer, feel, understand. So if we are compatible with somebody else, we feel the way they do, we sense things the way they do, we look at things the way they do, we want to do things the way they do, and the con is with, compatibility. We have fellowship with the Father and Christ through the Holy Spirit. He is the divine catalyst that brings us together. Part number one, fellowship with the Spirit. This is where it begins. In the council of peace between the eternal three, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, each decided upon the specific role that they would play. Christ was the one who took humanity. He was the one who died. But in His taking humanity, in His dying, the Father and the Son and the Spirit were all working together. Before He died, the Father willed. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And through the eternal Spirit, He offered Himself. The will of the Father strengthened His will. The presence of the Holy Spirit made Him strong enough to endure the cross. And through the Holy Spirit, this first segment calls upon us to think about the triple gifts that He gives: grace, love, and fellowship. Grace is the divine power that enables. What we cannot do, grace does. Grace is the adequate making power of God through the Spirit. I'm called upon to speak, I'm called upon to sing, I'm called upon to play a musical instrument, and suddenly I feel I can't do it. The promise is, my grace is sufficient. So call upon Him. Eternal Spirit, fill me with grace to make me adequate to this task, that I might glorify my Father in heaven and I might bless my fellow men. Love is the divine trait which makes and maintains ideal relationships. Relationships in physics, chemistry, astronomy, geology, anatomy, physiology, mathematics, and in society and in the church. Everything, every particle, every atom is related, touches something else. Nothing. No element, no heavenly body, no man is an island. We touch many. And love is that driving force that constantly is on the lookout to make that touching relationship ideal. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. And then this brings about fellowship. A vertical fellowship with God, we're at peace with Him, and a horizontal fellowship with mankind. And Paul speaks of this fellowship as a mystery. A mystery that was hidden but is now known. Now at the rudiments of that mystery is that the Gentiles will be fellow heirs. Now, if you read through the Psalms and you read through the prophets and you start with Deuteronomy, God has said that the Gentiles would come in with the 12 tribes and be part of his people. Over and over again, take your concordance. But by the time you come to the days of Christ and the apostles, the Jewish people had schooled themselves to the point of view that the Gentiles were excluded forever. It had such a rough time from the Gentiles that they couldn't envisage that God would accept them. This is the mystery. This is the fellowship, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Part number two, fellowship with other believers. This idea of fellowship is that we commune, together, that we communicate. We speak, we touch, body language, we share, have all things in common. This is the mind that was in Christ, who had the fullness of God, but he emptied himself that he might have fellowship with man. And this union, communion with Christ, communion with the Holy Spirit, communion with the Father. We're all the time thinking with them, musing with them, joining with them. What do they want? What have they done? We read the Bible and we say, what has God done? In the Old Testament, we see a revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything that God did in the Old Testament showed what Jesus is and did. Everything in the New Testament is a revelation of God the Father. Jesus Christ was the actor, and he says, I have hidden in the Father. I am doing only what the Father tells me to do. I am saying only what the Father tells me to say. And when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus Christ was the divine actor who played the Father in the New Testament. He played himself in the Old. And now, after his ascension, after his inauguration as priest and high priest, he sent the Holy Spirit in this Christian age to reveal both the Father and the Son. And as we cogitate on this and think about it, we get the mind of Christ. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, Philip translates Philippians 2:5. We should do the same thing. The attitude, the thinking, the whole mental setup of the Christian must be the mind of Christ. What does the Father want me to do? What is the Spirit empowering me to do? What can I do for those whom I have come to serve? And as we have said already and will say many times, there are two motives. Love to God and love to our fellow men. And love is concern. We are all the time on the lookout, what can I do to improve this relationship? Part number two, fellowship with church leaders. In every age, in fact, starting from Lucifer in heaven, the leaders have been bashed by a group of angels and a group of persons. We find them bashing Moses and Aaron and Miriam for 40 years in the wilderness. We find them bashing the kings and the leaders and the prophets, persecuting them, stoning them, killing them. We find them bashing Christ. We find them bashing the apostles. And today, we can turn on tapes and videos and hear people bashing the leaders. Now, the Bible has been given to us so that we can take these concepts and see what has happened in the past. What happened to all the people that stood up against Moses and Aaron? What happened to the people that stood up against the prophets? Even though the prophets died, what happened to the people? What happened to the people that fought against Paul and Silas and Peter? other leaders. And you look back over our history. What happened to those who were fighting the leadership? To say it very mildly, they came to a negative end. And we should be forewarned. Part number four. Service motivated by the Spirit. When Jesus Christ came, He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He served. Have not come to be served, but to serve. And so when we accept this Christ life ideal through the Holy Spirit, when the grace comes in to empower us, then our words and works will be what God wants. Then light will shine forth to those who are in darkness. The lips are speaking the praise of God. The hand will be stretched out to help others. We think of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended. No man said that aught that he possessed was his own. All they owned, all they had, all they wanted to do to promulgate the gospel. Thousands were converted. When the same Spirit actuates believers today, they may give back to God of His own with the same liberality. Wide and far-reaching work will be accomplished. We see in the New Testament church organization that every kind of ability, first given by the Holy Spirit, that meets with an aptitude and interest on the part of the person who receives it, gifts for the service of the church, deacons, deaconesses, Dorcas, missionaries, elders, prophets, teachers, writers, all didn't do everything. Philip's daughters prophesied. Dorcas didn't prophesy. She had something else to do. She had a needle. She had fingers that could make things for the needy. So as we see these gifts spread out among God's people, we realize how the Holy Spirit will function. Every believer can be a good Samaritan, helping the one he touches. The good Samaritan didn't help somebody in Damascus. He helped somebody on the road where he was walking. And so he demonstrated what it meant to show his love for God to his fellow man in need. And Jesus left his disciples with a greater idea. You've heard that you can love your neighbor as yourself, but he says, I want you to love as I have loved you. It's much more than himself. He gave himself. Part number six, followers of Christ should shed light into the darkness of the world. Through the Holy Spirit, God's word is a light, has transforming power. The light of His glory, His character, is to shine forth in His followers. Thus they are to glorify God, to lighten the path to the bridegroom's home, to the city of God, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. May the Spirit fulfill these ideals in our lives.